I'm sorry. 0 points.
Hello and welcome to season 3, episode 13, unlucky for some, of I'm Sorry, 0 points podcast with myself, Adrian.
And me, Seamus.
Seamus, just over 2 weeks out. Can you believe it?
Under 2 weeks out, yeah.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. Under 2 weeks out.
We will be there in under two weeks.
Have you started packing?
Not at all. You know me, I'm lastminute.com with the packing.
Yeah, you're supposed to say I'm always packing, Adrian.
That's always prepared, always packing. Exactly,
yeah. Love that for you.
I don't know what to wear. What do I bring?
I don't know, because like I'm also conscious of, like, as I said, I think last week, climate change. So, you know, will it be snowing in Malmo? Will it be hot in Malmo? Will the weather be different in Copenhagen as when we cross the bridge and go into Malmo? Who knows?
Who knows? These are the important things we need to know.
Are you going to bring a summer knit?
I always love a summer knit. It's just really handy to have, you know, go from day to night.
Yeah, you're a good buck for the summer knit, and then you either throw it across the shoulders, you know, if it's too warm. Very sufficient. Absolutely.
Or else under a table when I'm dancing in the Euroclub.
Absolutely. Or it's good, you know, when we get lost in a crowd, you wave your summer knit and I know where you are.
Like the green people waving the white.
Exactly. Or like, you know, Glastonbury, the big long flags.
Where Seamus on a summer knit.
Well, I know where you might be.
Where?
Oh, with your matching nose jewellery with somebody from Lithuania.
My new best friend, Sylvester. Yeah. The people had their say on social media, and yes, I was flirting with him.
It was something to behold. I was going to say beautiful, but it's kind of beautiful. I love your enthusiasm. And are you going to get a matching kind of, what do you call those things where he wears his?
Yeah, the nose clip or something. Yeah.
Is it like an embezzlement or a piece of jewellery? What would you call it?
I have no idea.
His and his nose.
No,
bits.
I don't think I'd like one. I don't think my nose is big enough. I don't need one to accentuate my nose.
But, you know, I thought it'd be nice for the two of you.
Okay, his and his, Mr. and Mr. nose. Yeah. Clip.
Very engaging. God, he really captivated you.
He did. He was lovely. There's something about him.
Okay, I have another question for you. What did he smell like?
I don't remember him smelling distinctive.
Okay.
But he just had lovely eyes. Like,
he did. He's very engaging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Will we move on?
We better. What's coming up on the show?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what's coming up in the show. You're going to give us some news. That's the first thing that's going to happen after this. We are going to talk about our semi-final predictions for both semi-finals and some more interviews. We have 3 more interviews. And of course, we will do our usual 0 points segment. So with that, it's over to Seamus at the news desk.
Hello and welcome to the Eurovision news for this week. So the Eurovision semi-final is only a couple of weeks away, but some countries are already thinking about hosting Eurovision 2025. Switzerland, who are currently the favourites to win the contest, have declared they are ready to host the contest in 2025 should Nemo win. Head of the Swiss delegation, Yves Schiffler, said that if Switzerland win the contest, they will contact cities that could possibly host the Eurovision. Cities with large halls and good infrastructure are eligible, such as Zurich, Bern, Geneva, Lausanne and Basel. They're not the only country, though, that are eyeing hosting Eurovision 2025. Croatia, who are also one of the favourites this year, has gone one step further, and they've already block booked the Zagreb Arena for the months of April and May in 2025. With a capacity of 24,000, the mayor of Zagreb announced that they're absolutely ready to host Eurovision in Zagreb should Baby Lasagna win with Rim Tim Taggy Dim.
Okay. And is Mill Street ready, Seamus?
Mill Street is always ready.
I can tell you one thing in terms of money. Mm-hmm. You know, I would want Croatia to win. Have you ever been to Switzerland?
No, but yeah, it's incredibly expensive. Yeah, yeah.
Very expensive. I think we might be, you know, shopping.
Commuting from Germany.
I think it'd be self-catering for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, my drive to Switzerland next year.
Yes.
Yeah, if they win. If they win.
It's all, you never know. It's all ahead of us. But
Mill Street is ready, right?
Just it in is case. Ready.
Bambi takes the crown.
Mill Street's ready to host the press centre. wherever the Eurovision will be. But wherever the Eurovision will be in 2025, there is some excitement that we may have more countries next year. TV Monaco has now gained full EBU membership after launching back in September last year. So we may see a return from Monaco. They last competed in 2006. Also, we may have a return from Bosnia and Herzegovina. They recently put out a statement in their program plan for 2024. And the broadcaster said that we think it's high time to consider the possibility of returning to the Eurovision Song Contest in 2025. They last competed in 2016. So I would love personally to see Bosnia and Herzegovina back.
I'd love to see Monaco back. But you know what? It's fine if you're one of the top five. Mm. But if you're a semi-finaler like we are, that's two more countries you just have to
try and beat.
Try and beat. But from a bigger picture perspective, it's very good. Mm. I'd love to see Slovakia come back as well.
Oh, yeah. And Hungary too.
And Hungary, yeah. No,
and Bulgaria. Bring them all back.
Maybe not all, just yet.
Well, yes. Yeah. Sorry, not all. Wherever we are going in 2025, one thing that is constant in Eurovision is security. And in this day and age, it's becoming more and more of an issue. And this year in Malmo, it is a heightened issue. And only last week, we learned about alleged plots to bomb the song contest in Malmo. Now, the EBU, along with local policing authorities in Sweden, are working to make sure it is a safe event. The police chief of Malmo, Petra Stenkula, said that security is going to be rigorous.
Is she presenting the Eurovision as well? Oh, no, it's a different
Petra. No, she's not double jobbing. No, this is a different Petra.
Yeah, okay.
So she said security is going to be rigorous. And they will be having police on the streets carrying heavier weapons than usual, including submachine guns. Now, the Swedish authorities have also reached out to their neighbours for some help. So policing forces from Norway and Denmark will also be assisting. And during the week of the contest, the airspace over Malmo will be closed off in case of drone attacks.
What do you feel about that?
I know. It's the modern times we live in. Security is a big deal, but this year it is heightened, of course. But I know how I'm going to get around this, Adrian.
How, Seamus? How? Tell us all.
I am going to stay in close with a certain group of people at Eurovision, so to make sure I am 100% protected.
Backing singers?
No. Even better. I am going to hang around with Crown Princess Victoria of Sweden, who is due to attend the Eurovision final. So I think I'll be fairly safe if I hang around with her and her husband, Prince Daniel, and their two children, Princess Estelle and Prince Oscar. They will be attending the final on the Saturday night.
So do you think you hanging around with the royal family of Sweden is actually going to make you safer?
Oh, absolutely.
Because you'll be taken out of it. You'll be the first person taken out of it by a sniper on a roof somewhere, a police marksman, and it's like, I'm sorry, 0 points. Oh, gone. Flattened.
Princess Victoria will look after me, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm.
Speaking of the Eurovision final, big news in the last week about the running order. So, as we all know, in previous years, the countries were randomly drawn into the first half or the second half of the final. But this year sees the introduction of the producer's choice. So artists can randomly draw a place in the first half, the second half, or producer's choice. This means that if the artist pulls out producer's choice in the random draw, the show producers will be able to place the song anywhere in either the first half or the second half of the running order. The change means that there will now be six places to pick in the first half of the running order, six places to be chosen in the second half, and 13 producer's choice places.
What? 13?
Yes. So they say the reason for the change is to give producers of the show even more of an opportunity to make all the songs in the grand final stand out and create the most exciting running order possible. What do you make of that, Adrian?
I don't know. I had seen the story, but I hadn't actually looked at it because I always thought that they had a certain say, you know, because of the staging and stuff like that. I didn't realize that this was going to be. So basically, more than half the songs in the final our producer's choice.
Yeah, and they can decide.
So does that mean, let's just say I'm Bambi and I pull out a producer's choice. Is it producer's choice for the first half of the final or the second, you know?
Anywhere.
Is it anywhere?
Anywhere. Oh. The producer can choose anywhere.
Okay. Sorry, just so I'm clear on this now. Sorry, Seamus, I know you're not the authority on this, but like for this,
Martin Osterdahl.
Martin, could you explain me some things, please? Come over here to have a word with you, Martin.
So six will pull out first half, and so six will be in the first half somewhere. Now, again, the producers will still decide where in the first half.
Yeah, so basically they have...
Full control, basically. The producer.
Full control, basically, yeah.
I'm not really a fan of this, if I'm honest. I don't know. I just fear that there could be kind of selection manipulation or selection favoritism. But look, we
shall... Like what? Like, give me an example. Like, what do you think could happen?
I think there could be easily a bias. I think the producers could be biased. Or dare I say, they could be even bribed to give a country a favorable running order. Now, I'm sure that won't happen.
Maybe people don't realize running order is very important, actually. Yeah. And I think this year it's going to be more important than ever with, you know, there's no song that's way ahead of the rest of them. I know there's about 10 songs that I think are in the running, realistically. But, you know, of those 10, I think there's six possibly that could actually win it. So mm-hmm. I think all these small things, like, wouldn't you be peeved if you got number two, you know, in between... The Netherlands, you know, we'll talk about this, you know, if the Netherlands get through, you know, they're going to have some big opener. It doesn't matter. Well, it's Sweden, isn't it?
Yeah, Sweden are opening. Yeah.
Yeah. And then let's just say you got the number two and then Netherlands was number three. Like, I mean, you might as well
pack your bags and go home.
Yeah. You might as well bring your case on the stage with you, because as soon as you're finished, you might as well head off to the airport and get your flight.
Yeah. So I don't know. It just... Yeah, I'm not sure about this producer's choice thing.
Yeah,
sometimes I think just leave it up to fate. Let fate have...
Oh, I know. You're like that. Is that how you are with your relationship with...
Leave it up to chance, yeah.
Yeah.
If we'll meet each other again, who knows?
You'll move to Lithuania or...
I'm not sure. Perhaps. I might summer in Vilnius.
Oh, yeah. It'd be lovely.
Yeah.
I'd say it's summer well. I'd say it's summer well in Vilnius.
Oh, I would. I'm sure I would. Now, we're not finished yet because...
Oh, Jesus, no, we're not. Right, okay,
news
sorry.
...news item for the week is last Friday. So Ireland's Bambi Thug performed their Eurovision song, Doomsday Blue, on The Late Late Show. But it wasn't just any performance of Doomsday Blue. Bambi gave a special stripped-back version of the song with just Bambi playing and singing at the piano. It was a real moment. And you know what? I think we should have a little reminder of that performance.
Avada Kedavra, the thoughts in my head, the places I touch when lying in bed, the visions of you, the words that you said undo. My heartbeat buried in the ground, and to its strings I bind your bounds. So when you sleep, you'll hear my sound, won't you? I know you're living a lie. I see the scars in your eyes. I know you're living a lie. A lie. I guess you'd rather have a star than the moon. I guess I always overestimate you. Favorite color is doom. Compared to the others, it's doom. Your favorite color is doomsday blue. Thank you. guess you'd rather have a star than the moon. I guess I always overestimate you.
Adrian, what did you make of Bambi's performance of Doomsday Blue on The Late Late?
Stunning. Like, stunning, stunning, stunning. I don't know, Seamus, is it me? But I know they have moved in the odds and they're around, you know, 10th, approaching the top 10. But I don't know, there seems to be a momentum now behind Ireland and Bambi Thug. I think they did very well on The Late Late. Not so much the interview, but definitely the performance. But there seems to be a momentum. And I think they did really well during the pre-party season as well. Gave us some interesting looks.
Oh, I loved the looks. I was living for the looks.
Living for the looks. But also, they have stagecraft. And they have shown it through the party season, or the pre-party season, with the Living for the Looks, but also then this pared back version of the song, to me, was absolutely stunning. I presume you liked it too.
Yeah, that was exactly the word I used as well, stunning. I just thought it was a beautiful version of the song. And I thought they did such a good job, and I thought it was so clever, because they could have easily come on and just done the same again. But no, they showed us a different side. They showed us that they are a real artist, a dynamic artist, and that they can sing, because a lot of people, or some people, are giving out that the song is just a load of screeching. But no, Bambi can sing. And yeah, it was stunning. And yeah, delighted. It's amazing to see Ireland like 10th in the odds to possibly win. But we won't get too excited.
No, we shall not, because we have to talk about the semifinals now. We'll talk about Bambi again.
We do. So, shall we move on to our semi-final predictions?
Okay, so semi-final one. It will be on the 7th of May. We will have 18 full performances on the night, 15 from the competing countries and 3 performances from the automatic qualifiers. So those automatic qualifiers will be Sweden, United Kingdom and Germany, and they will also vote in this semi-final. The voting will be televoting from the participating countries and, as I said, the automatic qualifiers, and online voting for rest of the world. So will I give us a quick rundown of the running order, Seamus? Will I?
Do. Very quickly. Remind me.
1, Cyprus. 2, Serbia. 3, Lithuania. Do you want to laugh there, Seamus?
You might go again.
Okay, well, I need you to laugh the next time, right? Sorry. So 1, Cyprus. 2, Serbia. 3, Lithuania. 4, Ireland. And then we have a performance from the United Kingdom. 5, Ukraine. 6, Poland. 7, Croatia. 8, Iceland. Then a performance by Germany. 9, Slovenia. 10, Finland. 11, Moldova. Sweden will then perform. 12, Azerbaijan. 13, Australia. 14, Portugal. And 15, Luxembourg. Right, Seamus, hit us with your predictions.
Oh, okay. Do you want all my 10 qualifiers?
Well, there's 3 definites, right? There's 3 sure things, right?
Okay. So for me, my sure things are Lithuania, Finland, and Croatia.
Oh, they're your 3 sure things?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are your three?
My 3 sure things are Croatia, Ukraine, and Lithuania. Are we going to do this every time we say Lithuania?
No, we're not.
Okay, right. Okay. Right.
Okay, very good. Well, I'll follow that, because yes, I have Ukraine as well as a qualifier.
And I have Finland as well. Okay. So we have 4 there now. Croatia, Ukraine, Lithuania and Finland.
Yes.
Okay.
Hit me with another couple.
Okay, I am going to go with Poland and Serbia.
And I'll match you with Poland and Serbia. Yeah.
Oh, so we have 6 similar. Right. My next 2 are Ireland and Cyprus.
Okay. My next 2 are Australia and Luxembourg.
Ooh, okay. My ninth country is Portugal.
Oh, you love that one.
I do.
Will I give you my last one?
Yeah, go on, because then I have to give you my last one. Go on.
My final country to qualify is Ireland.
Oh, whew. Okay, so that makes seven similar. Okay, at the same, not similar, same. Yeah. So
where's your...
My last one, it was between three. And I am going to give it, I was going to leave it right till the end, you know, just for the mystery, Seamus, just for the mystery. I know, where is it going to? Where is it going? Right, I am going to go with Australia.
Yay!
G'day, g'day. I'm going to go with Australia, yeah. I just didn't know.
Who were your other potential ones that you were...
Slovenia and Luxembourg. They were my last three. I didn't know who to give. So I'm going with Australia.
Oh, I don't think I mentioned Slovenia.
Go down to your top 10.
So Serbia, Lithuania, Ireland, Ukraine, Poland, Croatia, Slovenia, Finland, Australia and Luxembourg are my 10.
The only two different that I have is Cyprus and Portugal.
I know, and Cyprus was the one for me that was kind of like my 11th that I was debating about, but
yeah.
Now, and I think it probably will qualify, but I just personally don't like it.
Yeah. The reason why I'm given Australia as a qualifier, and I was like getting all technical about this, I was like, okay, there's a lot of Cypriot Australians, so, and also UK, Australia, Ireland, Australia, I was like going, okay, they probably have a better chance than the other two. Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
so
very interesting.
We have eight that we in both common. Agree on. Yes. Okay.
Not bad.
So semi-final two, will I move on?
Do, semi-final two. Remind us, who's in it?
Well, it's on the 9th of May 1st, Seamus, hold your horse.
Oh, yes, sorry.
There are 19 performances this time. Okay, 16 competing countries and 3 automatic qualifiers. So the 3 automatic qualifiers in this are France, Spain and Italy. And they too will vote in this semi-final. And again, just to remind people, televoting, participating countries, the qualifiers and online voting for the rest of the world. So the running order this time is 1 Malta, 2 Albania, 3 Greece, 4 Switzerland, 5 Czechia. Then we have a performance by France, 6 Austria, 7 Denmark, 8 Armenia, 9 Latvia, performance by Spain, 10 San Marino, 11 Georgia, 12 Belgium, 13 Estonia, and then Italy will perform. And then the last segment, 14 Israel, 15 Norway, and the last to perform in the semifinals is the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. So Seamus, give me your... three sure qualifiers, or do you have four?
Okay.
It's up to you.
Yeah, see, the semi-final two is a tricky one because there's a few, like, you just don't know what way it's going to go. But my definites for semi-final two, Switzerland.
Yeah.
The Netherlands.
Yeah.
And I would say Norway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I do, yes. Ooh. Mine would be like my three for sure that I think are getting through here are Switzerland, Netherlands and Greece. Did you have Greece?
I do. I'll match Greece. I have them in my 10 as well.
Okay. So we have four similar so far.
Mm-hmm. So far.
Give me another two there.
Okay. Another two that I think will qualify: Austria.
Yes, I have that.
And Armenia.
Oh, and I have that. Ooh. So are we up to six now?
We are.
Okay.
Give me another two for you.
Okay. Belgium.
Yes.
And Estonia.
I concur.
Oh, wow. So we're up to eight now.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. So our last...
This is where it all goes wrong.
Our last two. Give me your second last one then.
So my next one is Denmark.
Oh, I don't have Denmark in mine, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Who'd you have instead?
I had San Marino.
Oh, okay.
Mm, yeah.
The last place I found very difficult, I gave it to Georgia.
Oh, put out the fire. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
yeah. Who gets your last place?
My last place goes to Latvia.
Oh, Dons and Hollow, yeah. Okay, so we'd eight there as well.
Yeah, yes. Interesting. Yeah, now, again, I had three left there and I just picked the last one. I was like, yeah. Okay, I'm going to go with Latvia.
I found semi-final two a bit trickier to pick because you just, I don't know, there's a few of them. You just don't know what way it's going to go.
Yeah, you know, who knows in the night. I just think the semi-finals is so difficult because it's public vote. Not as many people tune in on the semi-final nights as they would on the final. Yes. And it's only televoting, so, you know, anything could happen, really.
Absolutely.
I am worried, though. I don't think Ireland getting through is as clear-cut as we think it is. I think if they get through to the final, I think they'll do well.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. No, I'm under no illusions. It's not going to be easy. And I think that's kind of why I did call it out last in my qualifiers, because it won't be easy. But I do believe it deserves to be there. And I would love to see Bambi in the final.
It would be amazing to see them in the final.
And then could you imagine with our flags?
Yeah, with our flags. The last time we waved a flag in a final was, what, 2018?
Yes. Oh, God. Oh. That's depressing.
Depressing. So, you know, maybe you'll hold off for another year, Monaco and Bosnia and whoever else wants to join.
Stay away.
Get back. Okay. That's going to be interesting. Look, let's see how the semi-final goes. And hopefully we will make it through.
Yes, please God. Fingers crossed.
Now, speaking of semi-finalists, you have three more interviews, Seamus.
Yes.
Who are you interviewing this week?
So we caught up with Bessa from Albania, Aiko from Czechia, and the crazy guys from Estonia. But first up, it is Bessa from Albania. And she was so lovely. Such a lovely, lovely person. A real pocket rocket. She is tiny. She's actually tiny.
Okay, but we'll be the judge of that, Seamus. The judge of that, okay.
Here it is. Here's Bessa from Albania. Hi, Bessa, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you.
Good. So, how are you enjoying Barcelona?
Actually, I'm really liking Barcelona.
Good.
So, I think it will, that has enhanced my experience of the
trip
parties, so it's going well.
Good. And you just done your sound check, all okay?
Yeah.
Good, you're happy.
Yeah, I'm happy. My voice is coming back because I
had a cold or flu.
Yes, I had a flu and I'm still not fully back, but I feel like good enough to be comfortable with my own voice.
As long as that is gone by Malmo, that's the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
So your song for Albania this year is Titan.
Yeah.
It was originally in Albanian and now you've changed it to English.
Yes.
Why did you decide to do that? Because I suppose recently the Albanian songs have mostly been in Albanian or a mix, but now you've gone pretty much fully English.
Yeah, I thought the musical roots of the song were not like a classical Albanian kind of influence for the song. First, second, I really like to see Albania do something more with an international flair this year, and probably it's a little bit risky, but we'll see how that goes. So, and I wanted to develop the song. I really like working with different people and big teams joining in, or different, like for example, to remake the song, we didn't just translate it, we just wanted to keep the flavor of it, the spirit of it, but turn it into something bigger, better, and enhanced. And also the message of the song got a progress too, so the song transformed musically and message wise
And so obviously Eurovision is something you've always wanted to do, because you tried to represent Romania before as well.
Actually it was
it
wasn't like a very very like decision per se. Like I actually was working with producers from Romania that period of time, and they were like, let's do this, and I was like, why not? You know, Eurovision is always exciting. So I think we put a lot on focus on who we represent, you know. It's like arts are a door to closeness and to togetherness. So I really, I mean, I am very honored to represent my country, but I think one of the greatest things about Eurovision is exactly the exchange of cultures and us getting together and communicating and working. For example, this year, Albania's team, music-wise, video-wise, stage performance-wise, it's got Italians, French,
Netherlands.
So it's got Turkish.
A real international flavor.
It's a very, very international team. Yeah. Like Finnish, Polish. It's like all of us.
Well, you're
going to
get 12 points from all of them, obviously.
I hope so.
Hope so, yeah.
I better take them with me and go on.
And the final question for you. You were a judge on The Voice Albania.
Oh, yeah.
Along with Rana, who represented Albania back in 2012 and gave Albania the best result.
Yeah.
Has she given you any advice, or have any of the former contestants given you any advice or anything about
Eurovision? Oh my God, yeah, a lot of them have written to me. They've been very kind, and they've wished me good luck, and they've given me support, but they've also told me that it's going to be a nightmare of work, obviously.
Yes, a good
of
nightmare.
Of work and stress. But also, like, the best experience musically that they've experienced, or for some of them.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah. It's a roller coaster ride. Just go with it and you'll be great.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Bessa. What did you make of her meeting?
You're right, Seamus. You're right. She's lovely. She's really nice. And you're right, she is tiny. pocket rocket. I kind of really like her. She's really engaging.
So warm, very friendly.
And she's very articulate. And she came across as a very grounded person. Like, you see her on stage and she has this persona on stage and you think, oh, maybe diva. But certainly not by the interview. I thought you were being a bit of a... I suppose you do have to ask the hard questions, I suppose. I think you kind of put her on the spot for asking her about changing the song to English. But she was well able for you. She was well able.
Yeah. You know, I need to get the questions in. I need the answers. Our listeners deserve the answers.
Yes. I suppose it is refreshing that you weren't flirting with her. So you actually did come across as professional in this interview.
For once.
I know. She seems lovely. It seems like you did have a connection, and fair play to you. I know you have very short time and you have to get the questions across.
Yeah.
So you did well. Yeah. And she's lovely. Yeah.
I'd love to see her do well, but we'll see.
Yeah, she can sing.
She can. She's 13. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Right. Now, so where are we off to next, Seamus?
The next person I caught up with was Aiko from Czechia. Now, I didn't have too much time with her, just a quick chit chat. And here it is. Hi. So you've just done your sound check here at Barcelona.
Yes.
How did that go?
It went really well. The venue is really big and it's amazing. I'm really excited for tonight.
Good. And from Malmo, are you equally as excited?
Of course. I mean, even more excited because it's going to be massive. It's going to be amazing.
Was Eurovision something you always kind of wanted to do? Was it always in your plan, or how did this come about?
I can't say that it was always in my plan, but of course I always wanted to do it because I feel like as an artist, it's an amazing opportunity to show your art, to represent the country, and it's a big honor.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in your semi-final, I think you're performing just after neighbours Switzerland and before France. So you're sandwiched in between them.
Yes.
How do you feel about that and your chances of qualifying?
Oh, hopefully I'll qualify. We'll see.
Hopefully.
But I think both entries are amazing. So I'm just going to enjoy the performance.
Great. And final question. Where is home for Aiko? Because you're living
in
Britain.
Question.
You're born in Moscow. You live in Czechia.
Yes.
Where do you feel at home?
I feel like I have home in people rather than in places, just because I really love the people that I have around me, and that's what really matters to me.
Lovely. Love that answer.
Cheers.
Best of luck in Malmo. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
There, that was Aiko Adrian. What did you make of her?
This was a bit short and I wouldn't say sweet. I don't think she's a fan of yours, to be honest. She was a little, who are you?
Yeah. I found her very politician-like when I was chatting to her.
Which I would not have expected. So this is the thing. She has this very out there song. She's kind of dismissive, I'm going to say. You could judge for yourself. It's on YouTube as well. You can see her body language. I did not appreciate. I was like going, did Seamus let one rip or something just before? And she just happened to come into this fog. And I was like, because she didn't look happy. Maybe she was.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. She was the one that stood out for me as the least interested, I suppose. All the others were really nice and chatty and engaging. And I don't know, I just found her very mechanical and like a politician. It was like, oh, here's my answer. And yeah, do just what, not as
do,
engaging.
Do with that what you want, basically. Yeah, it was like, of, yeah. I've said this 15 times today, the same thing over and over again. Yeah. But that's the game, Aiko. That's the game.
Yeah. And look, lovely of her to talk to us. Really appreciate it. But yeah, yes. I just found her probably the most politician-like with her responses.
Yes. Yeah, she was. And our last interview, Seamus, where to? Yeah.
These guys could definitely not be called politicians. Oh my God. I think I had to actually edit out a couple of things that they said. I managed to chat to the Mad Lads from Estonia. So Five Minust and Pulup. Here's what they had to say. Hi, thanks for speaking to me. I'm from Ireland, so we have a Eurovision podcast in Ireland called I'm Sorry,
we
0 Points.
We sang some Boyzone yesterday and they threw us out the bar.
Yeah, we sang Ronan Keating yesterday.
We have so much better singers than Boyzone and Ronan Keating.
No. Bono, or what?
No, better than him.
You mean Enya?
Enya.
Enya. Well, if you're into Enya.
You have a very, very good band. My Bloody Valentine.
Who?
My Bloody Valentine. That's Irish, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard of
him. And you have the, was it Donovan guy, the guy who won the most Eurovisions, right?
Johnny Logan.
Donovan is an Irish name also.
It is, yeah. Johnny Logan's a bit of a legend, though. Yeah. So, enough about that in
which,
Ireland.
Which side of the Irish Mafia war do you...
Neither. So tell
you're
us about...
You've been to Dublin?
I live in Dublin.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Have you been?
I have.
So we have the jokers of Eurovision.
Are you proud of the Ryanair fleet?
Asking the real question.
Yeah. This has suddenly turned into a political conversation about everything.
All right, but what do you want to know?
Tell us about Yi. How did this collaboration come about?
I don't know. I called Marco if he wanted to do something together, and he luckily said yes, and now we're here.
Okay, so you take it very seriously, I see.
I don't really take anything seriously, to be honest with you.
We saw them, we liked what we saw, we called them, we did the song, we're talking to you now.
Right. Yeah, it all worked out.
Yeah. We mostly don't do any collaborations, we were just me and Ramo, duo.
Strictly.
Yes, we had our own audience, our own stuff doing. And when they called, it was just absurd, so of course we said yes, let's do it.
Yeah, but that's the point, I suppose, because it's like, what's going on here? But it weirdly works.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. You know, the audience went mad in Estonia for it, and then the rest of Europe is going mad for it as well.
And we're a good match.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, and it has to work for us as well, and luckily it did. From the first moment we sat in the studio, we understood the assignment.
We are the same.
Yeah. We're pretty much the same, they're older, but the jokes are the same. We have totally the same vibe. Wavelengths are the same.
Yeah,
and we love kebabs.
Basic of the song we did per 1 hour, I think.
Yeah, it's the first song we recorded from our upcoming album. Yes. And it's pretty straightforward.
We met, had 2 beers, and then did the song.
Okay, the beers helped, I presume.
They usually do, yeah.
You get thirsty in a studio, and the water pipe was leaking, so.
Had to be a beer then. Yeah. Okay,
Guinness, no.
Yeah, we came back to Guinness. Yeah.
Bring it back to Ireland all the time.
Or Kilkenny.
So, could you possibly have the longest title song ever?
I think we have.
I think we have.
Like, was that part of the fun as well? Like, just give them something that no one can pronounce outside of Estonia.
We didn't have the longest title idea at first, but when we...
I think we didn't know that the
That was not the plan, yeah.
No, that was not the plan initially, but now it's like a good plus.
It was actually the name of the song was before we had the song. It was, we got this idea and this key phrase, and then we created a song around it. So so we couldn't change it later.
No, why would you?
We had a couple of songwriting camps where Karel wrote every sentence down that was like remotely funny, and we just picked like song titles from those sentences that he wrote down.
I kind of just talk, and when we talked with my grandfather, he had weird sentences to say, so we kind of named some of our songs those
and
sentences.
It even one of the sentences turned up into a new song on the album as well.
Okay, so you're blaming granddad. I love it.
I think he has copyright of at least two titles on the album.
Great, there's money coming his way. Tell us, the other contestants in this year's Eurovision, who are you liking? What songs are you liking?
There are others?
Unfortunately, there are, yeah.
Irish song is so good. Irish song is so good.
Do you like Bambi though?
Yes.
Blue?
Irish will win.
It's a bit hectic, but it's not really nice.
Yeah, we had to comment on some of the Eurovision songs on a TV station in Estonia, and I think we chose Bambi to be the one that to show twice.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's interesting, because it's quite a different song to what we normally send.
It is very different. Yeah.
So we've taken a risk this year, but we hope it pays off.
But I've heard that Mr. Eurovision from Ireland also gave it its blessing. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He gave it his blessing, yeah. So that's all that matters.
But we have to support our own and our own neighbors and friends as well, like Latvians and Finns.
Well,
best of luck to you.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Great competition there. Guys, thanks so much for talking to us. It's been fun, and I wish you the best of luck in Malmo. Okay?
All right, cheers.
Thanks.
Adrian, what did you make of them?
Well, this actually made me laugh because I could see you're trying your best to be polite, but I also think they irritated you actually. Like, it was so funny at the end. It's been fun by you. And I was like, what? That's not your it's been fun face. That's your like, oh my God, that was horrifically hard.
Yeah,
look, this. Well, you were dealing with six people, was there? Six, yeah. Six of them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot.
Yeah.
They were well able for you. I loved their education in Irish music and culture. You know, I know they were just throwing out random Irish stuff. Like, probably what I would do if I met somebody from another country, go, oh, you're Spanish, paella, or, you know, like stupid stuff. Like, probably inappropriate as well. But did they mention an Irish Mafia war to you?
Yeah, I know.
Side of that, thanks.
Yeah. They were fun, but I knew the minute I started talking to them, I was like, okay, they're not going to take this seriously. It's just, they're here to have the crack. Yeah. So it was a little bit tricky, but look, they were very nice. And again, great that they chatted to us. But they're totally up for the laugh. And
they irritated the shit out of you. I could see it. Hilarious. So have a look at it. You'll see for yourself. I did like the one part of this interview. The longest song title bit was really good. I think that's a unique selling point that they actually should sell a little bit more. I know it wasn't intentional, but they look like they're up for the fun and the laugh and everything.
Oh, absolutely. They really are. And fair play. Look, they're going to enjoy themselves.
Absolutely.
I actually can't wait to hear the commentators around Europe try to pronounce that song title.
But sure, we can't. Do you remember when I tried to do it? I was like, blah, 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 blah. And here we have Estonia.
Yes. Oh, God.
Yeah.
But that was the lads from Estonia. We will have two more interviews next week, actually, from some very special guests.
Oh.
A Eurovision winner from Sweden. And another Eurovision star who definitely didn't win, but we still love them nonetheless. So stay tuned.
Oh, okay.
More interviews coming next week.
Very good. Very good. Well done, Seamus, and those interviews are great. Can't wait to hear the last two.
Thanks to Miriam O'Callaghan. Oh my God.
It is. I want to see you in a blonde wig next week. Is that okay?
Maybe.
Genuinely. Now, genuinely, Miriam, what is getting your 0 points this week, Seamus?
Oh, God, it would be good if I knew that. Can this segment get my 0 points? Because I have to think of one every week.
Yes, if you want it to be, but it's,
That's not fair. No. While I think, can I ask you for yours?
Okay, well, my 0 points is very clear to me this week. It's a very Irish think. I'm not sure this made international headlines, but it was the news story of this week in Ireland. And this is about Stardust Fire. So what's getting the 0 points in terms of this is the 43 years the families have had to fight and battle for their loved ones who died in that fire, all 48 who died in that fire. As I, you know, I was joking last week, I'm involved in health and safety and I do a lot of fire safety training and stuff like that and awareness stuff. And you always refer to the Stardust Fire and you always refer to it kind of fleetingly because you don't know who you're talking to. And for years and years and years, you know, the families have fought and fought and fought for basically justice, I guess. And I just thought, finally, they may get some peace. I just felt so sorry for some of the families, that, you know, the parents had died before this day. So it was a big thing for, I think, this country. I think maybe younger people or people, you know, who have migrated into Ireland may not understand the significance of it. But all our fire safety legislation came about as a result of this. You know, that's what our current laws were based on. It's unfortunate that it took something like this for proper legislation to come about and for things to be enforced correctly. Having said that, it's still not, you know, there's still lots of work to do. But I hope something like this never, ever, ever happens again. And I just think, you know, 43 years to wait for the state to actually, you know, and the justice system and all that, to simply say that their relatives were unlawfully killed. And I know there was lots of different other attempts in tribunals and things like that. And actually, the first one basically said, actually, I think it was one of the people that were in the fire that actually, you know, arson. So they were basically blaming the community themselves. So again, there's a lot of politics around this. There's a lot of class issues around this. But it was good to see that justice finally won out. And I hope, you know, the families get some sort of peace from this. And I know maybe by the time this goes out as well, that the Irish government have publicly in our House of Parliament apologised to the families. 43 years, way too long to be waiting for justice for a family. So that's what's getting my 0 points. Sorry, I know it's a very serious topic, but it's one related to what I do as well. So that's, So now, very Seamus, yours better be lighthearted.
It's so lighthearted. I'm so sorry now.
It better be like something like farting during an interview or something.
Mine is 0 points to sunny clothing. So, you know, it's been a beautiful weekend here in Ireland.
It has.
I think we went over 15 degrees. Did we go over 15 degrees?
Oh, I think we were at 19 at one point.
Oh, stop it.
It was washing out all over the place.
What I can't cope with is the minute it goes over like 15 degrees and there's a bit of sun, the belly tops come out on the girls and the guys are in the shorts and they've the tops off and like the pale, pasty milk bottle white skin. I don't need to see it.
I'm okay with seeing some of them now.
I bet you are.
Yeah. Don't be so innocent. Oh, put those muscles away. It's too early in the year.
I'm happily taken. Thank you very much. I'm off to Villainous. Don't forget.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Look, tech.
Look, tech. Look, don't touch. But yeah, no, I mean, like, could we at least wait till it goes over 20 degrees or something? Like, no, the minute any bit of sun, the belly tops are out, the t-shirts are off. It's like...
But I love going into work now tomorrow. Everybody, shiny noses, shiny ears, red necks, farmer's tan, basically from two sunny days. Yeah. I love it.
We just can't cope with the sun.
I know, we can't cope with any... we're always talking about the weather. But
I know, it's such an Irish thing, we talk about weather.
But at the same time, it was nice to have 2 days where it hasn't rained, the sun has been out all day.
Glorious.
And I just love these evenings, the red sun. Fab.
Great stretching evening.
But I'm okay with certain people wearing summer clothes.
Okay.
Stunning. Right, Seamus, our poll.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to have your say. We have our Eurovision 2024 poll open right now. So if you head to our socials, go to Instagram, sorry, 0 points podcast, or go to X, sorry, 0 points, you will see a link to our Eurovision poll. We want your top 10. We want to know who's getting your douze-pois. So go ahead and vote. Poll closes midnight on Friday, the 26th of April, so you don't have long to vote. Have you voted, Adrian?
I haven't voted yet, actually.
And you better hurry up.
Well, I have to do the spreadsheet. Is that my job at the end?
Yes. You know, I know love doing you love that a spreadsheet. Stuff. You do. Yes. You love a spreadsheet.
And I love extracting the data out, and we let everybody know, you know, the trends, the overall points. We're also going to compare it to all our panelists as well.
Ooh.
Who are, sorry, not panelists, contributors to this season's podcast. So we're going to see what their results are, the overall result, and compare, Seamus. Correct?
Compare and contrast.
So there'll be a lot of data. And we've been asked to give our results, haven't we, Seamus?
We have, exactly. Our podcast was called upon to give our votes as well. Our lovely colleagues in Building Bridges podcast got our top 10 as well, which was interesting because we had to combine our two votes. But actually, we had some similar ones. It was really interesting.
Yes.
So we will be appearing on the Building Bridges podcast in the coming week or 10 days. We'll let you know more about that as well. But that was something really interesting to be involved in as well. So thanks to Building Bridges podcast for that. If you're listening on Spotify, remember to follow us on the social medias. You can email us as well. I'm sorry0points@gmail.com. And you can watch the interviews on YouTube as well. Sorry0points on YouTube.
Good man yourself, Seamus. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you next week. Don't forget to do the poll.